Father, we thank you for bringing us into this place. Lord, I thank you for providing a place that is out of the elements and that is free from just so many things. Lord, we have no fear of people banging down our doors and hauling us off to jail or so many other things that fellow believers throughout the world have to deal with. Lord, as we come into your presence today, I ask that you give us open hearts and open minds, that you would speak to us through your word. Father, let your word do its work in this place and in each heart today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 12. This is a very unique chapter. It's interesting because Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He is speaking to you and me, those of us who have chosen to follow Christ. And he's warning us about some things. He's telling us to watch out for certain things in this life. And the first issue that he deals with is hypocrisy. And he tells us that hypocrisy, that the root of that, where that comes from, is the fear of men. That's what leads us into hypocrisy. And what he's talking about is just caring too much what men think and what the culture believes. Caring more about those things than we care about what God says in his word. What is your mindset in regard to the culture? How do you see things in the world around you? Do you pay more attention to those things than you do to what the Lord tells you? Are you more tied in with cultural norms than you are biblical mandates? And that's the question here. And it's a question that we all have to ask ourselves from time to time. It's easy to fall prey to cultural thinking. That's why we need to stay alert. We need to stay aware. The world, as we look at it, is in this mad dash to a finish line. Have you noticed that? Everybody's consumed with getting somewhere. And it is a conclusion, this finish line that is determined, or it is defined rather, in terms of material gains and personal possessions and personal accomplishments. The problem is most people don't even know what's on the other side of the line, what's beyond the finish line. The next thing that Jesus talks about is greed. And he's not simply saying that we should not be stingy, although we shouldn't be stingy. But what he's saying is don't look to the material things of this world to bring you satisfaction. Because they will not satisfy in the short term and they will not save in the long term. Don't chase after material things. Don't let your life be consumed and defined by what you do and what you accomplish. The lesson on greed is not targeted at the 1%. It's targeted at the 100%, at all of us. All of us who have a tendency to want to find things, get things, accumulate things, and that can be material possessions, it can be relationships, it can be accomplishments. We want to define our life by those things. And what Jesus is saying here is don't do that. Don't be greedy for those things because they're not going to satisfy you. And so we come to the last warning that is in this chapter. But the last warning is a different kind of warning. He is not warning us away from certain things. He is warning us to something. He's saying, don't do these other things, but here is what you need to do. And I want you to see this. I want you to see the flow in this. He's saying, don't sweat what men think. Don't worry, don't be consumed with those things because it'll turn you into a hypocrite. And don't be passionately seeking the things of this world because all it's going to do is turn you into a worrywart. Wrinkles, hair loss, ulcers, all those things we don't want. You know, he's saying that's the end result. You're just going to be worried and consumed with these things. But, and this final point really begins in verse 31, which we covered last week. Here's what we need to focus our attention on. He says, seek his kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God. Chase after his righteousness. Be passionate to promote and publicize his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And here's where we're going to today, be ready. Be ready. Have your lamps lit. Have your clothes on. Be ready. Look at what he says in verse 35. Be ready. My translation says for service, but that's kind of added in there. I don't care for this translation in this verse. He says, be ready for service and have your lamps lit. J.B. Phillips, I think, does a better job of translating this verse. He just says, you must be ready, dressed, and have your lamps lit. The idea here is be ready. And so the question is, well, be ready for what? Well, he tells us that. Verse 36. You must be like people waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can open the door for him at once. Guys, we need to live our life with a sense of expectation, a sense of expectancy. We must shape our life in order to be looking ahead. We must not shape our life in order to please men or spend our time chasing after material possessions or gains. Rather, we need to be investing in his kingdom. And he says when we do that, we store up treasures in heaven. You see, Jesus is coming back, and there is a great benefit to those who pay attention to this, to those who live their life expecting him to return and that he can come at any time. If we're living that way, then we are living storing up things in heaven, storing up treasures in heaven. We need to live with an eye on eternity and an eye on that destiny. If you won't strain after the things of this world, if you will seek God and trust in him, that's what he wants. We need to seek after him, especially at those times when the world system comes into and is on a collision course with what the Scripture teaches us. If we seek after the kingdom of God, if we are expecting him to return at any time, then what he's saying, we won't be hypocrites. We won't be drawn into that place of hypocrisy because we're looking for something different, looking for something outside of the things that this world has to offer. We're not going to be like the rich fool who is accumulating things and then God says, yeah, but today your life is required of you. Today you're out of here. We're not going to be living in compromise. We're not going to be getting drunk. We're not going to be goofing off at work. We're not going to be involved in inappropriate relationships. None of those things. But for those who are living for him, I want you to hear this. You're in the thick of the battle. And it is a battle. It's a struggle to live for Christ in this life. It's a daily struggle. But the beautiful thing, guys, is that we can say, when we are living without compromise in our life, we can lift our heads toward heaven and say, today, Lord, today, come quickly. Yes, today, I'm ready. If you're living in compromise, man, it's hard to say that. It's hard to say, Lord, yes, I'm ready. Lord, yes, come today. You're more likely to say, Lord, can you hang on? Can you wait till after I sober up? Can you wait till after my wife's black eye heals? Can you wait till I get these debts paid off? Can you wait just a little bit longer? When we're living in compromise, there are always these things that are barriers between us and our ability to say, come quickly, come now, Lord, I'm ready. you're living in compromise, you're not likely to say, come quickly. And you know, I hope he doesn't listen to you. If you're living in compromise and you're saying, Lord, not right now, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year, I hope he doesn't listen to you. Because I'm ready. I'm ready today. I'm ready for him to come. I'd even be willing to skip lunch. You know, if he could come in the middle of this service, that'd be fine with me. I'm ready. Now look at what he says in verse 37. This is an amazing verse to me. Those slaves the master will find alert when he comes will be blessed. Look at this. I assure you, he will get ready. Have them recline at the table, then come and serve them. This is almost embarrassing that he is going to come and serve us. When Jesus finds us waiting with expectation, looking for his coming, that he is going to take us and set us at a table and come and serve us. Now, it's a parable, and so we can't take this too literally, but there is a truth here. That when we are waiting for him, when we are watching for him, that he is going to serve us. Now, I doubt it's going to be burgers and fries. I don't think it's going to be in that kind of context. But we're going to be blessed, is the promise here. That we will be blessed when we are waiting and looking for him to come. Verse 38, it says, if he comes in the middle of the night, or even near dawn, and finds them alert, those slaves will be blessed. Jesus asks, when he returns, he asks this question. He says, will I find anyone faithful? It's a challenging question for all of us. He says, will I find you living in expectation? Will I find you looking for my return? We should live that way. We need to live our lives that way, looking for him to come back at any moment. You know, there have been a lot of things written over the years about when Christ will return. I don't know if any of you remember, back in the late 80s, there was a guy that wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. He missed it, obviously. I think the sequel was 89 Reasons Why I Was Wrong. I don't know. And then this summer, Harold Camping said that Jesus was going to come this summer, and he identified a date when he was going to come. People like this just give biblical prophecy a bad name. You know, I made a special point to talk with my kids after that thing this summer because, you know, I didn't want them to think, yeah, Dad's one of those wackos that, you know, thinks that Jesus is coming and he knows the date. And my kids have enough ammunition to think I'm wacko without all that. So I just really wanted to clarify that with them. But I have to tell you, I do believe that Jesus is coming back. I do believe that he's coming. I'm not going to set any dates. I'm not going to set a specific time. But I know that he's coming. And I know that he's coming soon. Now, having said that, let me tell you when he's coming, okay? Listen carefully. For those who do not believe that Jesus is coming back, he's coming at a time when they don't expect it. Because they're not looking. They're not expecting him to come. And so he will come when they do not expect it. Now for the believer who is watching for his return, for those who are looking and expecting, Lord, you could come today, you could come tomorrow, he's going to come when you do expect it because you're always looking, you're always expecting. So he's going to come when you do expect him. Greg Laurie told his church this. He said that he got a special word from the Lord. The Lord told him exactly when he was coming. He said he's going to come at 2 o'clock. That it'll be 2 o'clock someplace in the world when he comes, so that's a pretty safe bet, you know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows for sure when Christ is coming back. I don't know. Harold Camping doesn't know. No one knows. The point here is that we are to keep watch, that we are to be ready, even though we don't know. We're to live our life in that kind of expectation, that he could come at any moment, any time. Some people complain that the teaching of the imminent return of Jesus Christ is not a part of historic church doctrine. They say that this teaching began with a group of people, John Darby, Margaret MacDonald, and some people in Wales and Scotland and England back in the 1800s, but that's really not true. That's not the case. This teaching of the imminent return of Christ is New Testament apostolic doctrine. Those who say that it is not a part of historic church doctrine are right. I do have to make that point. But the problem is historic church doctrine has been so far off base so often that who would want to listen to it anyway? Historic church doctrine has taught things like purgatory. It has taught things like purchasing favors from God. It has taught things like worshiping the saints. All of that is a part of historic church doctrine. Who's proud of that? John Huss was burned at the stake. Martin Luther, John Calvin almost had to forfeit their lives because they were standing against historic church doctrine. Historic church doctrine back then was salvation by works. If you work hard enough, if you do certain things, then God will be happy with you and you can get into heaven. What the Bible teaches is salvation by faith, and faith alone. Salvation by faith is not a part of church, historic church doctrine, but it is New Testament doctrine. The imminent return of Christ is not historic church doctrine, but it is biblical, New Testament, apostolic doctrine, and we need to live our lives this way, because he could come. He could come at any moment. Verse 39, but know this. And he's going to give a story here, an example for us to consider. If the homeowner had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also be ready. Again, that's the one message here. Be ready. Be ready because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. How many of you have ever been robbed? Just curious. Ever had your house broken into? Boy, not very many. You're lucky. I remember as a kid, our house was broken into once. And after college, I was a manager at a bank, and we were robbed once. And then there's this sense of anger. There's this sense of feeling violated when something like that happens. What would happen, though, if you knew that it was going to take place? If you knew when the robber was going to come? If you knew how to plan for that? What would happen? Would you be a blotter post in the KA if you knew that something like that was going to happen? How would you be ready for that? Would you be sitting in your chair with a shotgun across your lap? I know some of you are thinking that. How would you be prepared? How would you be ready? Probably better just call the police. But whatever your plans of action would be, you'd be ready in some way. You'd be ready for it. And that's the lesson here. Be ready. I really think that in a way, in a sense, when Christ calls his bride home, that on this earth, there is going to be a sense of violation, a sense of robbery, a sense of something valuable being taken away. And this world will begin to experience great anger and great distress. Now, I'm not talking about the second coming of Christ. I want to be clear. When Christ comes at his second coming, when he comes back to the earth, he will come and establish his kingdom on this earth. But there is an event that takes place prior to that. And I'm speaking of the rapture of the church, and I think this is what he's telling us here. The Bible talks about two separate events. There is a rapture of the church when his bride is taken out of this world and we meet him in the air, and there is a separate, distinct event when he comes and sets his foot on this earth again and sets things right. When he comes for his bride, there is a suddenness about it. There is an unexpectedness about it. That's why he's saying here, be alert, be awake, be ready. In the parable of the 10 virgins, there are even the 5 who have the oil that is a picture of the Holy Spirit, even they are asleep. So Jesus is warning us, he is admonishing us to stay awake, to stay alert. At his second coming, when he comes and steps onto this earth again, there's a definite timeline for that. There are certain events that are signs that are clear and people will recognize. The sun and the moon go out. The oceans are turned into blood. 100-pound hailstones. You're not going to miss that. You're not going to, you know, miss that some way. After this, Peter pipes up with a question. And he's going to raise a question, and his question is about, you know, who is this parable for? And Jesus is going to answer that question, and we're going to look at that next week. I want to close with a story that I heard. During the Cold War, there was a woman, I think it was in Czechoslovakia, and she discovered that her husband was having an affair. And she was devastated by this. Just absolutely ripped apart. And as she pondered her options, she came up with two possibilities. She said, I'm either going to kill him or I'm going to kill myself. That's all. Those are the only two options that she could come up with. And so she pondered that and thought it over and finally came to the decision that she was just going to kill herself. That it was an easier way to go. And they lived in a high-rise apartment, as many people did during the Cold War era. And she thought, you know, I'll just jump out of the balcony. I'll end it that way. They were up on the 5th floor somewhere. And so she just picked a day and decided a time and went out on the balcony and jumped. Now, what she did not know was that her husband was coming home early that day. And he just happened to be walking in front of their building as she jumped. And she landed on him. Killed him, and she survived. You know, there is justice in the world, I guess. It was a great story. I just had to find some way to work this in. But the point is, he was not ready. He was not ready for his wife to fall out of a building and hit him on the street corner. Are we ready? Guys, we got to be ready. We got to be awake. Jesus is telling us this very clearly, very plainly. We need to be living our lives this way. Peter tells us that for those who live with a sense of expectation, there is a purifying that happens in our life. As we recognize that he could come at any minute, we are not going to be involved in crazy things, in silly things. If you are single and you are expecting Jesus Christ to come at any minute and you find yourself at a drive-in movie theater, you're going to be eating popcorn and watching the movie because you know he could come at any minute. If you're a businessman and you're looking for Christ to come at any minute, you're going to be doing the right thing. You're going to be making invoices out properly. You're not going to be overcharging people. You're not going to be cheating them in any way because you know Christ could come back at any minute and you don't want to get caught that way. It changes the way we live our lives. Do I have struggles in my life? Yeah, sure I do. The Bible says that we are all being conformed into the image of Christ. Little by little, He is carving away, He is shaping us, He is molding us He is moving us into that image, the image of his Son. The Holy Spirit begins to work on something, and when we come to deal with that issue in our life, and he says, okay, now let's move on to the next. We're all in process. We all need more love, more compassion. We need to be less prideful, less selfish. There's a lot in my life that needs to change. But what I don't want to happen, what I don't want to have happen in my life, is for me to be involved in some kind of overt sin, some kind of action, some kind of thing that is in rebellion to God, that is against his word, and find Christ, or have Christ come back and find me in that condition. I know that he's coming back, and that knowledge helps me to stay on the narrow path. And guys, if we will live that way, it will help us to recognize and to realize the way we need to live. Keep your eyes on him. That's what we need to do. We need to recognize that he could come back at any time because it purifies our life. I'm going to have Matthias come up and close us with a final song. But I hope that today, as we're leaving, I hope that you won't just rush out. I hope that you will take some time to consider these things, pray over these things. Ask the Lord what he's wanting to do in your life. Are there areas of compromise? Are there areas where you have allowed the care of men to infiltrate your life and move you into hypocrisy? Are you, like the rich young man, looking for material gain? Is there hypocrisy in your life? Is there greed in your life? Let the Lord speak with you today. Let him deal with those issues. And again, we are here to pray with you after the service. If the Lord is speaking to you and you need to bring some things before him and you just want somebody to pray with you, I want you to know that we are here to do that. Matthias, why don't you go ahead and close us? Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for bringing us into this place. Thank you for this message. Lord, give us eyes to see you and your return. Give us hearts to look in that direction. Help us to long for that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.